This is day 15 of our study of the Westminster Standards, and we're in our third day studying the doctrine of providence. We're in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5, section 2. Although, in relation to the foreknowledge and decree of God, the first cause, all things come to pass immutably and infallibly, yet by the same providence, he orders them to fall out according to the nature of second causes, either necessarily, freely, or contingently. The passing of all things immutably and infallibly is seen in Acts 2:23. Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So God uses these secondary causes, but they happen immutably and infallibly. There was no way that Christ could not die for our salvation. And so the second half of that statement is that these second causes are either necessary, free, or contingent. And we see that in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Exodus 21:13. And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee. Now God delivers in the way of secondary causes, as seen in Deuteronomy 19:5. As when a man goeth into the wood, and his neighbor, with his neighbor, to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with an axe to cut down a tree, and the head slips from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee into one of those cities and live. So the accidental slipping of the axe head from the axe killing a neighbor is parallel with Exodus 21, God delivering him into his hand. God uses those secondary causes. 1 Kings 22:28, and Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thine hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. In other words, God uses someone who simply fires a bow and arrow at random, but it's exactly where God wanted it to go. Isaiah 10:6, I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit, he meaneth not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. In other words, God sends judgment, but the army of the Assyrians executing judgment, they're not intending to fulfill God's purposes. They're doing their own thing. Chapter 5, Section 3. God, in his ordinary providence, makes use of means, yet is free to work without means, above means, and against means at his pleasure. Acts 27:31, the use of means. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. And you have to read the whole story, but the rest were saved, some on boards and some on broken pieces of ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. God used those means. Isaiah 55:10, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth from out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hosea 2:21, it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth, and the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. Working without means, Hosea 1:7, But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, without means. Job 34:10. Therefore hearken unto me, you men of understanding, far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. And yet wickedness and iniquity are committed. Above means, Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. God also works against means. 2 Kings 6:6. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Daniel 3:27. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now, in many of these cases, we can't take the time to explain the whole story behind just the one or two verses that are quoted as proof texts for the claims that are made in the confession. You have to know the story of the Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace, or the floating axe, or Sarah and Abraham. All these stories, if you're not familiar with the stories, you're going, well, how does that prove what the confession is saying? On the other hand, there may be a couple of places where the confession cites a verse that actually doesn't prove what it's saying. So it's helpful, it's necessary for us, really, to spend our time not just reading the confession, but also reading all of these verses in context, reading the whole Bible from cover to cover. Section 4 of Chapter 5 on Providence. The almighty power, unsearchable wisdom, and infinite goodness of God so far manifest themselves in his providence that it extends itself even to the first fall and all other sins of angels and men, and that not by a bare permission, but such as has joined with it a most wise and powerful bounding, and otherwise ordering and governing of them in a manifold dispensation to his own holy ends. Yet so, as the sinfulness thereof proceeds only from the creature and not from God, who, being most holy and righteous, neither is nor can be the author or approver of sin. In other words, the sins of men are also part of God's governing and ordering, and yet it's their actions. They are the ones who sin against God. God can't sin against himself. So let's look at that claim that the power of God in his providence extends to the first fall of the sins of angels and men. Romans 11:32. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. God hath concluded them all in unbelief. The depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor? 2 Samuel 24:1. And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, Go, number Israel and Judah. Now compare that with how it's stated in 1 Chronicles 21:1. In 2 Samuel it says, God moved David, but in 1 Chronicles 21:1 it says, And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. 1 Kings 22:22. And the Lord said to him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And God said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth, and do so. Now therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord hath spoken evil concerning thee. 1 Chronicles 10:4. Then said Saul to his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword, and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. So Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. 2 Samuel 16:10 And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherewith hast thou done so? Or wherefore hast thou done so? Acts 2:23, once again, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, have you taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts 4:27, For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. This is not by a bare permission, as is seen in Acts 14:16, who in times past suffered or allowed or permitted all nations to walk in their own ways, but rather this is has joined with it in a most wise and powerful bounding, this use of this extending of God's providential power to the first fall and all other sins of angels and men, not by a bare permission, but with a most wise and powerful bounding. Psalm 76:10, Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. 2 Kings 19:28, Because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. This works, this ordering and this governing of evil, works to his own holy ends. Genesis 50:20, But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And Isaiah 10:6, I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. Howbeit he intendeth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations not a few. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria, and the glory of his high looks. So the king of Assyria, intending only destruction, is used by God as judgment against the people of his wrath. And then when the king of Assyria is done executing God's judgment, God judges the king of Assyria because of his desire to destroy. And this sinfulness, such as in the king of Assyria, proceeds only from the creature and not from the creator, who, being most holy and righteous, neither is nor can be the author or approver of sin. And for this, we're directed to James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 1 John 2:16, For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Psalm 50:21, These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes.